The Kansas City Chiefs extended their streak. What does that mean for where they're going to be in this AFC West and this defense? It has now been in a top 10 unit for, what, 5 weeks? Is this a mirage or can they stay there? And then what do we know? Is there a new wide receiver two in Kansas City? We're going to cover all that coming up on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, Chiefs fans. We're brought to you today by On Location, the official hospitality partner for the NFL, the only place you can score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl trip, a ticket experience as well. OnLocation.exp.com is the place to go, /SB56. So that is OnLocation.exp.com/SB56. That's how you can get in the game there. We have a lot to talk about, and this is a nice one to take away. It's nice to be on the upside here.
Liz.
The streak is, I think, what stands out to me as number one. This is 12 games in a row against an AFC West, not just an opponent. I mean, you could say all these games are rivalries, but the one that was dominant before the rise to power of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes led Chiefs teams, and even Alex before that, was the Denver Broncos. So being able to take that from them and have this streak that includes Peyton Manning, that includes some things that have been going on the last few years. That's significant to me.
Yeah, and Kansas City kind of broke Peyton Manning in Denver. Their first win in this streak was against Peyton Manning, and they actually got Peyton Manning benched for Brock Osweiler. And Brock probably appreciates the Chiefs because he got, you know, they got him paid. But that's a whole other story. I do want to say really quick, I am still not 100%, so I apologize ahead of time. But I am here, so please take that with a grain of salt. What I do want to say about this game, though, yes, Kansas City moved to 12 wins in a streak on this against this Broncos unit. But more importantly to me, you look at what this means overall over the past 5 weeks, 5 wins, just over 10 points a game on defense allowed. And if you look at just the last 4 weeks, less than 10 points a game in the last 4 weeks allowed on defense. And only one game actually went over 10 points.
Yeah, and we're going to get into the defense and what they've been doing to get to that point. But what this means for the AFC West is that you are now off to the start. This is the guts of your AFC West schedule. And to get off to that start, and quite frankly, I mean, let's be honest. If it's not for a couple of relaxed plays, they probably don't even get in the end zone last night. So we're talking about, you know, giving up less than 10, less than a touchdown.
And the Chiefs, I think the defense actually pulled back in the second half. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I think talked about this after the game or after, you know, before we actually recorded. I think they pulled back on that touchdown drive. They didn't blitz at all. And that was not a staple of what we've seen from Spagnuolo. And I like what I saw from a couple of people on ESPN. Dan Orlovsky was actually talking about this specifically earlier on Monday, saying that this Chiefs defense is going out there and playing, okay, you want to do something, come take it from us. Mm-hmm. And that is generally how they've been playing. They didn't play that way on that touchdown drive, and I'm okay with that because I get what they were trying to do. All they were trying to do at that point was just get through the rest of the game because they felt like they had control of it.
Yeah, and at that point, that sets you up. That for that to be what kicks off this role of AFC matchups, AFC West matchups, I think that's got to have the Raiders that were leading the division shaking in their boots, to tell you the truth. I know that the Chargers put out a lot of points this last weekend, but they still look like them. There's still a lot of issues there, back and forth. And it's my concept right now. If you take away Mike Williams, you double him, I think you're going to be all right. Keenan Allen went on to the COVID list today. Who knows what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks here?
I did not see that.
As the Chiefs go into this, though, they are set up in prime territory to not only build on that streak, but make a whole new one and take this AFC West into the realm that is dominance, not just over a season, but over a decade. How many years have they won the AFC West in a row now?
5, headed to 6. Now, I also want to point this out really quick. Big thing that really made a huge difference in that first game, and I actually didn't even watch the first game live, I'll be honest and say that. But big thing that made a big difference in that first game with the Chargers was turnovers. Cincinnati turned the ball over 4 times. Mm-hmm. You're never going to win a football game if you turn the ball over. Okay, I won't say never. 99.999% of the time, you will never win a football game if you turn it over four times, unless the other team turns it over four or five. So
it's kind of the way that it works.
Yeah. It's the way, it's absolutely the way it works. So I think what you're seeing there is you saw a team in the Chargers that are prone to take advantage of teams that are making mistakes. And, you know, I watched some of that Chargers game yesterday. I think Cincinnati was actually driving to go take the lead against the Chargers, and that game could have completely changed had Joe Mixon not coughed up the fumble and had it returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, fair enough. And honestly, in that particular outcome, I don't. There's positives and negatives on both sides of whoever would have come out with that game for the Chiefs. But it just goes to show you that this whole division is still up for grabs, and they have a chance to take that. If they can win this division for a six-year row, that's a, you know, an overall 60% of a decade that you can claim dominance, let alone if that's in a row. We'll get to that and see how long that streak can continue, because there's a lot of power there that they're going to have to deal with. And for you guys, you listen to podcasts to power from the inside track. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power to save money. And that's why they're here, and that's why we're here. Because of Boost, you get the power of the free 5G phone. You can listen to latest episodes on that device and keep your favorite players and teams. With Boost, you get three unlimited data lines for $30 a month each, so your family can share all the insights as well. And the power from one of America's largest 5G networks, so you can do everything at 5G speed. Switch to Boost Mobile and find out. You can get a free Samsung A32 G5 when you switch over to America's largest G5 network. That's over at Boost Mobile. Disclaimer that you guys need to know about is a free phone is limited to the new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverages are not available everywhere, so check and make sure. Use boostmobile.com for details. And once you do, you get a little power up there. Maybe you can save some time and, you know, go somewhere else. You can get to On Location. Every game, and the big game for these Chiefs is one that we can take away and talk about forever, is the big one for this upcoming Super Bowl. I know we've had past Super Bowls, but the one upcoming is going to be important. Super Bowl 56 at SoFi is less than 100 days away. And On Location, the official hospitality host for the NFL, they are their partner, is the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Select your exact seats. Choose from elite experiences featuring the exclusive pregame celebration, all the NFL legends, the five-star hotels, you know, food from chefs like Wolfgang Puck. Visit onlocationexp.com/SB56 for more information, or search Super Bowl On Location and you'll find it. That's locationexp.com/SB56 or search Super Bowl On Location. And you'll have a feeling that you can get everything that's in that Super Bowl on location. I think that'd be fun. I have not attended a Super Bowl in person, so
it would be a ton of fun. Well, that right? would be a lot of fun to go to.
The thing that would make it more fun, I think, is if I could have a defense that only gave up 10 points. And that's what the Chiefs have been doing on average here lately. And there's a number of reasons why. But first, are you surprised they've gotten to that point given the monstrosity that we saw early in the season?
Yes, but I also think that it needs to be pointed out that, as Chris Collinsworth or Al Michaels pointed out on the Sunday night broadcast, Kansas City's defense has at times struggled early in the year, and they start to figure it out in the second half of the season. And I think that's part of what's going on. I also think it was partially injuries. And so I think that what you're looking at with, you know, Chris Jones moving back inside, Melvin Ingram coming over, Frank Clark getting healthy, and Rashad Fenton coming back, Shavarius Ward coming back, Willie Gay playing and coming back because he was injured early. Mm-hmm. You know, Nick Bolton starting to get some snaps on defense, although he didn't get that many. And I just want to throw this out there really quick. I know we talked about this earlier, and I don't want to change it away from defense, but I did just look this up. If the Chiefs win the division again this year, that would be the first time in AFC West history that somebody has won the division 6 years in a row.
Yeah, I think it was the same thing with five.
There's multiple times that it's happened with five.
Okay.
Yep. But
again, that goes back to dominating like for a decade. That's just crazy. And it's nice to see a little bit of balance here as the defense comes on. A couple thing that stands out to me when we review this game, and one of them is, what have we been talking about for the last few weeks? Yes, Spags likes to blitz. When he has to, that's a problem. And I was really pleased. It actually is lower than I thought. The rate that they the percent that they blitzed Teddy Bridgewater, it was only 12 snaps on 44 dropbacks yesterday. That is lower than even I thought in terms of, I would say probably 3, 4, maybe even 5 more blitzes that I thought I would rack up. That must have just been, you know, show it and drop out, and that's perfectly fine. But that tells me that you're getting more pressure with just your front four.
And they are.
Absolutely. And when you, if you had to pick one guy like right now, who stood out to you the most in that particular group in the front four last night in terms of what they were doing to affect the quarterback?
Well, Melvin Ingram started the game off with a sack, and I think that really set the tone for most of it, because I think what you've seen from Bridgewater in his career is if he gets hassled, he's not going to be able to stick in, and he's not going to make some of the throws that he probably should make. Mm-hmm. So I think that really set the tone for things. And I was trying to look up, and I apologize, that's why I'm looking at my phone. PFF had something about the Chiefs that came out earlier about how their rankings for the game was mostly offensive linemen. Okay, here we go. Jerron Reed, 81.2 in grade. And then, well, I guess that's the only defensive lineman that got an 81 grade. But then you had three offensive linemen get 74 and above. Orlando Brown, Creed Humphrey, and Andrew Wiley, and Chavarius Ward with a 74.5. Now, yes, that's PFF gradings, but my point is you're having guys step up that we didn't expect, or we maybe expected, because I wanted to see Jerron Reed step up earlier, but now PFF is saying he's playing better, and I think that's going to help as well, because it's a sum of all the parts. It's not just one guy. Yes, Chris Jones can be fantastic, and he did what he did last night late in the game when he got his arms up and deflected a pass. Mm-hmm. He gets double-teamed, and he just says, okay, fine, you want to double-team me? I'm not going to get there. I'll just be watching where the QB is looking, and I'll throw my arm up there, and I'll swat the pass down. Fine with me. Works.
That's effective.
Yeah.
Tell me if this sounds like what we've been hoping for all season. Top four pressure appliers last night. Chris Jones, Jerron Reed, Frank Clark, and Melvin Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
All four of their starters on the defensive line that just shook up that offense more than I thought that they honestly were going to. When I knew that Dalton Risner was going to play. Risner's a good player, and I think he made the difference. If it wasn't for him, I think those pressures could have been double, to tell you the truth. So,
and Myers played pretty well at times.
Able to apply that at times, he missed a couple things as well. I still think Myers should be a center. I think they did him a disservice putting him at guard myself. But hey, it is what it is. That said, this defense is, because of the front four, I think being able to be more opportunistic on the backside. Yes, Chavarius Ward dropped an interception. I know that. You guys are going to not let me forget that from what I've seen the last 24 hours. That's okay.
Give me a break. Seriously, he's playing corner for a reason. He's not a wide receiver.
Well, and given his history, he's never been a producer of turnovers. Right. So, honestly, it's a bonus at this point in his career if he comes down with one. And he had a really nice one a couple of weeks ago. The fact that he's in position to make PBUs is what I care about, because that's within the realm of expectation for Chavarius Ward. Being a playmaker like Honey Badger and Juan Thornhill is not in his cards.
No, and I think the other thing that you need to take a look at when you're starting to look at a guy like Chavarius Ward, what's his completion percentage that's, you know, when QBs are throwing at him? Mm-hmm. That's what's really important, because, it would be great to get interceptions, but if he's getting thrown at 10 times and he's only allowing 4 completions, that's pretty successful for a corner.
Yep. I think it was 3 receptions on 7 targets last night.
Yeah. So, pretty close to his average of 4 out of 10 every mm-hmm. Throughout the year. So I'm pretty happy with that. And I do think that he's playing very well. And I think they missed Fenton. But the other thing that really stood out to me is they didn't really have Hughes on defense very much.
No.
He's been relegated to special teams, and Baker played.
Yeah, and I found that interesting as well. Baker put in a lot more work than I thought he had. 51 snaps. Did that catch you off guard?
It caught me off guard a little bit, but I started seeing him early in the game, and I was like, okay. And I just kept watching, and I kept seeing 30 around the ball at different times. So it didn't shock me that it ended up being that much, but I wasn't expecting it, considering he's usually the one that is sitting on the bench and not being active as opposed to being active. But that's probably mainly because Hughes is needed on special teams.
Well, and let's be real honest. We're now right about what, just short of a year out from his injury, which was significant. So the fact that he hasn't been, you know, right back into the saddle and playing a ton of snaps this season, like I'd almost thought that, hey, maybe he's just not going to get back and the healing process is going to take longer than that. And maybe we'll see him next season. For him to step up and go from zero to 60, basically, zero to 51 anyway, in terms of snap count, I thought that was not only a big boom, but I didn't see him play badly. Did he make some mistakes? Sure. But he was solid in coverage. I think he was targeted five times. He gave up three, but just for 21 yards. Same thing with L'Jarius Sneed. He gave up two catches on two targets, but again, just for 23 yards.
Yeah, and you can live with those.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know I'm sitting here looking at my phone, and I apologize, but I do want to talk about this really quick. Frank Clark, when he came back from his injury, was usually playing around 80% of the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, 62%. Now, I don't think that's them thinking Frank wasn't doing what he wanted to. I think it's Kansas City got up and decided, okay, let's take some snaps off of him. He doesn't need to be out there. And that's also what happened on that touchdown drive, because they started that drive with their second unit in.
And
Same with Chris Jones, same with Melvin Ingram. They all took a couple more plays off than they normally do, and that's because Kansas City felt comfortable with where they were in the game, and they didn't want to put those snaps on those guys.
I think that was the theme overall. I mean, this was Alex Okafor played 34, Mike Dana played 31. Those are the highest counts since week four for Alex Okafor. So, and we made a couple of plays too, right? Like he was in position, that deflection that he almost gave himself an interception. He's going to worry about that one here for a couple of weeks.
He's going to be hearing about it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you can't blame him. That's why you play defense, bud. We get it, but
I don't know. Chris Jones will blame him.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
you know, Chris Jones will not let that go.
Keep it honest. That's fine. I do want to get into another guy that is not only just nearly catching passes, but catching passes. And the Chiefs did do something that we've been talking about for quite a while. We'll get to that right after this, because you have to be into different things if you want to get the most that you can out of your life right now. And beachbound.com vacations, you could be bound for adventure or passion or discovery or togetherness or immersion in a different culture or just rejuvenation. Get some relaxation and help yourself out. Or you may be bound for encountering something completely unexpected. That's always a challenge as well. Personally, when I'm out, I like to check things out locally, you know, check out the food, check out the culture. You know, I'm guessing there's a brewery around somewhere that I'll definitely check out. That's pretty consistent. And if you go to beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you, no matter what you're looking for, any of those categories, any of those places. So what are you bound for? Visit beachbound.com today and find out. Now, I say this tongue in cheek because we've been asking for this for a while. We got what we wanted, but then we didn't get what we wanted kind of thing, especially for the fan base. The wide receiver that played the most snaps against the Denver Broncos was Tyreek Hill. We all know that. We expect that. Something's wrong if it's not Tyreek Hill leading the way in terms of snap count. But for the first time, it was very interesting to see that the Chiefs did give Byron Pringle a shot. He played the second most snaps of any wide receiver at 41. 10 over DeMarcus Robinson, who has generally been out snapping him for the last two seasons consistently. And I think that is a significant step forward. Frustrating with then to see the drop. He did come back and make the play that kind of made up for that. And on the night, I think he had a solid outing, you know, given that that's a little bit more up and down than you want. But did it surprise you? And what was your takeaway from them giving him that much of a look?
I don't think it really surprises me. I think it's a little disappointing that he wasn't able to take more advantage of the opportunities he was given. But what I will say on that regard is I think we've seen his ceiling. We were hoping he could be a number two. I don't think that that's his role. I don't think that he can play that effectively in this offense. I will say, though, I would be very happy if they could find a way to sign him long-term as their number three. And do a long-term, you know, 3 or 4 years for a good number three deal. I think he could play that role. I think he could succeed in that role, especially because he is so effective on special teams and he is such a core guy there. But I also think that what you saw was he pressed last night and that's why he dropped the ball. Tyreek Hill pressed last night. That's why he dropped the ball. Travis Kelce pressed last night and that's why he dropped the ball. The only guy I didn't see the press other than the running backs was DeMarcus Robinson. DeMarcus Robinson looked like a wide receiver. And that's not normal. I mean, that is what he is, but that's not what you want to see from this unit, is Demarcus Robinson looking the most comfortable catching passes for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Jitterbug routine and all that he seemed to have on both those receptions. But yeah.
At least he pulled the ball in.
Right? Yeah. Baby steps. I'm with you.
Yeah.
That said, like, I think they need to continue this. Yes, Byron had that drop. Had another one. I don't know that it was on him that he didn't catch it, but targeted four times, only had one reception. But he's had a couple of big plays this season. And yeah, he was the number one target after Kelce and Hill.
And I do want to point out really quick, they went right back to him. Like, he dropped a ball on third down, and the first pass that came the next series, they went right back at him.
And I think that's really significant, because that tells me that this wasn't a one-game experiment, that they need to continue that. And when you tie that in with the other snap counts that we saw, and again, we understand that they felt pretty comfortable in this game. But take a look at what happened beyond that. It was Josh Gordon, 13 total snaps, 8 routes. It was Noah Gray, 12 snaps. Mecole Hardman, 9 snaps. And kudos to Mecole, because he did make a nice play with that that one little pass that he took and turned into something. But that, again, tells me there is more going on here than just, hey, we're going to give him an extended look. Like, I think we're going to see that again. I think we should see that again. And hopefully Byron Pringle will settle into that role, and we won't see this pressing and this problem with a drop before he actually gets going and makes plays.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's frustrating, and it's got to be frustrating for a lot of Chiefs fans, and I know it's frustrating for me, is that we were hoping Mecole Hardman could take a step forward this season. I think he's taken a step back in some ways, and it looks like the team thinks he's taken a step back in some ways. And I think that's got to be frustrating. Does he have the ability to do certain things? Yes. The problem he's running into right now, and I think it's not just this, but I think it's partially this, is that what he excels at, Kansas City can't do right now, because they're not getting a lot of one safety looks. Mm-hmm. They're getting mostly two safety looks. Well, that's not where his bread and butter is. His bread and butter is running 9 routes and getting down the field and using the speed for that. That's not something he's going to be able to do in this offense with the way that defenses are playing them. So I think that's a problem. You know, Josh Gordon not getting involved in the offense, that's been really frustrating for me to see, because I think that he gives them another dimension of something they don't have. But I also think that we expected something early from him that may not come until the playoffs, just because you got to remember, he was out of football for 2 years.
Right.
He's acclimating. So maybe he gets there, maybe he doesn't. But I do think that, you know, and I don't want to talk about the draft next year too much, but I do think that the number two spot is going to be something that they're going to have to address either in the draft or free agency.
I think you're probably right. And that all comes back to Patrick Mahomes. And I think this is, again, another bit of a drain on his confidence in who he's throwing to. And we've seen him continue to be inaccurate, to make some crazy arm angle plays.
He doesn't have to. That's the other problem.
When he doesn't have to, and particularly when he isn't doing it in order to send the ball deep, where his receivers have an opportunity to adjust. It's the fact that they're generally the shorter throws that don't allow that kind of give and take, or let a guy make a play for you. That's, I think, the difference that we're seeing here. So hopefully, as they continue to try to establish that third receiving threat after Hill and Kelce, I think that will help Patrick quite a bit as well. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is all about Patrick Mahomes.
So while we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, and yes, it is all about him, I do want to point this out, because PFF threw this out earlier today and I tweeted it out from the Locked On account. Interceptions not graded as turnover worthy throws. Mahomes has 12 interceptions on the year. Mm-hmm. 9 of those, PFF have said they are not turnover worthy throws.
Meaning they were not his fault.
Right. Well, I don't know that they would go as far as saying they were not his fault necessarily, or, you know, maybe the defender just made a fantastic play. But there's at least 7 that we know hit the wide receiver or tight end or whoever the ball was thrown to in their hands, and they popped it up and he got picked off. Mm-hmm. And Mahomes almost had 2 of them last night, just not just the first one, although I guess the second one was off a defensive lineman's hand, so that's a little different. But
a little bit.
when you have nine of those in the season, it's going to have, you're going to have to be even more efficient than what you normally are. And I think that's where he is struggling right now. I think he needs to just try to get back to the interesting, try to get back to what he was, but you're going to have to do it, and you're going to have to take the short shots, and you got to find a way to get your receivers not to press. The other thing that really sticks out to me about this whole scenario with him is he is playing, and I hate saying it, but he's playing poorly at home, and he's playing much better on the road.
It's and that's curious. To see that. Yeah.
It's almost like he has too much time to think because he doesn't have, he's not dealing with the crowd noise and not trying to, you know, he has more time to, I don't know.
May just be that he's sleeping better on the road because he doesn't have a baby screaming in his ear.
That's possible too, but QBR on the road. Well, but he, okay. And that's possible, but he, they all always sleep at a hotel the night before a game in Kansas City. So
true.
His QBR at home is what, close to 80? When he's on the road, it's much higher. It's almost 95 or, you know, 96. So that is a significant change, and I'm not sure what to make of it. I don't know if it's, you know, the entire team is pressing. That's why he ends up having games at home. The big one for Kansas City in that regard is that the games left that they have are at home. So it's a problem.
Let's hope that it smooths out. We're going to see what Matt thinks tomorrow, folks. Matt Derrick will be with us from ChiefsDigest.com. If you are new to us, we'd appreciate a like and a sub and a click that bell over on YouTube. Hit us with the iTunes review.
So we'd like to know how we're doing.
Yeah, we are getting right there, aren't we? Yep. And that is something new. If you're an audio listener and you want to see us go back and forth a little bit, that could be entertaining too. We are not exactly devoid of facial expression when yelling at each other, talking to each other, whatever you want to call this.
Although, like I said, I haven't felt good the past 2 days, so please forgive me for that.
But we'd appreciate it. Even if you're not a YouTube type subscriber, just go there and click subscribe and let us know that you're there. We're looking forward to it. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to us today. Matt will be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about the next game starting Thursday, and then we'll have our preview where we're going to give you our predictions after boiling all this back down into what's going to happen next week. So bear with us. We are here 5 days a week just for you guys. So we appreciate you taking the time today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.